Bear with me as we put a seal on all of this that we've talked about today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless us now as we do just that. Put the seal on all of this by your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to consider the resurrection in depth. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless now this final thought to us for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we pick up the picture here, the story, I should say, here. After the women have gone into the tomb and seen that it was empty and been told that Jesus wasn't there. So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 8 through 9. They were told that after they're given that news, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Earlier today, at two different sites in Jerusalem, people gathered to hold sunrise services to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. One of those sites is the traditional site memorialized by the so-called Church of the Holy Sepulchre inside the walls of Jerusalem. The other is the so-called Garden Tomb, which stands outside the ancient walls of Jerusalem and was identified by Dr. Lambie, a missionary serving under the independent board, a Bio-Presbyterian missionary. Which is the actual site? Well, no one knows. And frankly, it might be neither of those two places. The empty tomb of Joseph of Arimathea is really lost to history. The only reason tombs and graves are marked and identified is because of the remains of loved ones and notables who are buried in those tombs. If for any reason that spot of ground, that mausoleum or that grave, is emptied, it bears no significance. When you visit a graveyard, you don't see people gathered around the lawns where no one is buried looking at the ground, do you? Do you ever see that in a graveyard? People all gathered around where no one's buried and looking? No, doesn't happen. No, they're gathered around some stone marker or identifying a place that is where their friend or their family member is buried. Also, if someone is buried, I should say, in one location and for some reason or another, the remains need to be moved somewhere else, their friends and family don't go back to the old site and leave flowers. Now, if they have to be moved for some reason to another part of the graveyard or to another graveyard altogether, people don't go back to the old spot and leave their flowers there and sit there and consider their friend. No, they follow the body. They go where the body goes, and they pay their respects accordingly. On this morning, once it was determined that the Savior's remains were no longer in the tomb, there was no reason to remain there. No reason. Luke describes it in this way in Luke chapter 24, verses 2 through 6. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." And it's very clear again, as Mr. Brillhart said just a moment ago, that they were looking for the body. That's what they were looking for, and it wasn't there. And the angel says, "Don't look here for him. You won't find the living among the dead. Don't look for that body here. That body is risen." And as far as we know, those women who accompanied the body to the grave, who lingered across from the grave, keeping watch, as it were, over the body and the burial place of Jesus, as Pastor Young pointed out, who rose up early on this day before dawn to get back to the tomb as soon as they could, those women never returned to it again after they were told these things and were encountered by the living Savior. They never went back there. Before they understood it, when they knew he was dead, they went to the tomb. They watched them prepare the body. They watched them put the stone in front of it. They sat there across from it and mourned because he was there. As soon as the Sabbath was over, they got up early in the morning to go back to the tomb, to the place where they knew that his body was and where he was buried. But once they knew he was not there, they never went back again. Consider what you've read there in Matthew 28. Once they were told this, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. They left and never went back. The awe and the reverence, the joy and the expectation created by the news and the empty tomb carried them away from that sight, beloved. Away from the sadness and the gloom, away from the sorrow and the disappointment, to the disciples with this glorious news. Now, I believe the actual location has been providentially obscured to prevent the foolish and superstitious minds of men and women from becoming too attached to it. But I'm also sure that this happened naturally. An empty tomb isn't of any interest to anyone. The disciples and others didn't need to see it in order to believe it was empty for the first few hours because Jesus was in their very midst. Peter and John ran to see if it was true, but once they found it empty and they saw Jesus, they lost all interest in the grave itself. There was no need to check the grave when he was standing before them and saying things like we read in Luke chapter 24, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. We don't have images of Christ hanging on the cross because he suffered once for our sins. He is no longer suffering, no longer on the cross. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." We don't make pilgrimages to go see the empty tomb or the place where Jesus was buried because we don't seek the living among the dead. We worship a living Savior, just as those women did on this morning long ago. We read that Jesus met them and said to them, "Greetings." And they came up to him and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Our attention, our vision is not of the tomb. Our attention this morning isn't in a hole in the ground holding a moldering corpse. Our attention is towards the vast open heavens above us, from which we look for the return of our living Savior in power and great glory. Not just in spirit, but in body and spirit. As you read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." And because of what he did for us on Calvary, because of the salvation he gained for us, the victory over sin and death, beloved, all our graves and all our tombs will soon be empty and just as insignificant. Let no one come looking for us there after Christ comes, because we won't be there. Let no one bother to seek the living among the dead. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. There's a wonderful scene when Jesus ascends into heaven and his disciples are watching. And suddenly, two men in shining apparel appear. Maybe it was the same two that were at the tomb that met the Marys. I don't know. Could have been. But they address them, the disciples, in much the same way at the time of the ascension. We read in Acts chapter 1 in verses 9 through 11, and when he had said these things, Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Once again, what they say is, don't focus on where he's been. Look for where he can and will be found. On Friday evening, we mourn the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. But we don't grieve as those that have no hope. We're like those of whom it is said, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The sight of the empty tomb was important for the first few hours of the day, but all quickly lost interest in the grave. Pilate and the rulers of the Jews wanted to forget it as soon as possible. And the disciples were too occupied with his living presence to have any interest in that place. If you are without a saving knowledge of Christ this morning, we encourage you, we urge you, we beg you to look at the whole testimony. Look at the cross and the evidence of his death for sinners. It was a real death. He tasted death for everyone, as Hebrews says. Every effort was made by his enemies to be sure that his tomb would never be found empty, that it would be a shrine to their diligence and a disgrace to him for generations, that it would prove he was an imposter. That was the plan. Nevertheless, the testimony of his resurrection is simply overwhelming. And all those who know the living Savior are looking not back at his grave, but forward to his return. The cry to your heart, if you're without Christ this morning, the cry to your heart from God himself is plain and simple. Believe on the risen Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus himself declares to you, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And to all of you this morning who know that you are serving a living Savior, look up, for your salvation is nearer to you now than when you first believed. He will swallow up death forever, Isaiah 25:8 says, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Beloved, like those women on this day, we'll soon be leaving our tombs behind, seeing him face to face, falling down at his feet, and worshiping him with love and with praise and with wonder. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the witness of the empty tomb, for the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, not in spirit, but in body, whole, Lord, and complete. And for the promise it gives to us that we too shall live in him. Father, if there's anyone without that hope this morning, I pray that they will look carefully at the evidence. We pray together as a church, as a body of believers, that they would look at the evidence set forth in the Word. And Lord, turn from their sin and from the death that it brings upon them and embrace the life, the everlasting life that is offered through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may all of us who believe rejoice together that we serve a living Savior. We ask these blessings now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.